We stay with the topic of music. We just had Musical Musers that Craig led. But we have a musical-related guest in studio right now. His name is Charles Stone, and he started working with Concerts West back in the mid-60s, I guess, is when you started working there, Charles. And you, of course, were on a lot of very famous tours, most notably the king of rock and roll, Elvis himself. You knew Elvis. You worked with Elvis up until his death, I believe, right?
Correct, yes.
And we thank you for being on. You live in town here?
Oh, I've always lived here.
Okay, yeah. You've always lived here, even right. during the days when you were working with Elvis.
Correct.
So kind of tell us what your duties were when you would be working with Elvis on a tour.
Well, my duties were to put the tour together, book the venues, order the tickets, or scale the house, or how many tickets at what price, et cetera, do all the security, all the production, and that was my job, is to make the tours happen.
And when you first start working with Elvis, because you were a young guy at the time, weren't you, in your 20s?
In my 20s, yeah.
And when you first started working with him, do you remember what it was like when you were first around him? Because I'm assuming it would be like, hey, don't bother the king. Don't talk to him directly.
Funny you should say that. I was told, first of all, I grew up an Elvis fan, as most people did back in that era. And I thought, man, Elvis Presley, man, this is so cool. But my boss, Tom Hewlett, said, go meet him at the back door, take him to the dressing room, but don't talk to Elvis. Well, whatever, okay. So after about a week, because I'm going down the hallway and Elvis is walking beside me, and one of his guys, Sam or Joe or somebody, turned right, turned left, goes right, tell him where the dressing room is. So one day, Elvis grabs my arm and looks at me and says, who are you? Because after, you know, after I guess a while, he's seen me every night. I said, I'm Charles Stone. I worked for Tom Hewlett and Jerry Weintraub. I'm Elvis Presley. That's exactly what he said and shook my hand. After that, we became friends.
Wow.
That's cool. And he ultimately gives you the greatest honor, which Giorgio hates this, but I love the fact that Elvis gave those little necklaces.
Right, the TCBs.
The TCB.
Oh.
yeah, the TCB. And that, did that allow you like free reign backstage, or what kind of special powers did the TCB pendant give you? Could you stop trains
discounts
with your hand?
Memphis? Did you get some discounts at area
stores?
Yeah,
free meals. Or? What is it? What did that entitle you to?
Just the honor of having it, and that's it. Didn't no discount.
Oh, okay.
Nothing. But what that really meant was you were in his inner circle. That's mm-hmm. all. Yeah.
And he gave it to you personally?
Yes, he put it around my neck.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh,
wow.
I almost cried. I was so emotional.
You still have
you
it?
Don't ask for. Oh yeah, absolutely. You don't ask for those.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many
you don't like them.
No, I think that's
he didn't
a
like
nice
the design
gesture.
Of it.
No, I think it's fine. I thought it was kind of cartoony, the whole TCB thing, but you know, it was part of the persona,
taking care of business in a flash.
Yeah, right. in the flash. Yeah,
and didn't was it Elvis seeing a lightning strike outside his plane, and I think got Priscilla to help him design the logo or something.
I do not know about that part.
No. Oh, I may have just made that up on the spot. I don't know.
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds good.
Right. So, what was it like when Elvis was touring versus some of these other acts that you were with, Led Zeppelin, or
it's night and day, apples and oranges. With Elvis, there was no catering backstage at all. There was no, even the venue manager wasn't allowed backstage. My security was like presidential, which made it a piece of cake compared to the rock acts that had all their groupies and all their friends and, you know, just a chaos. But there was, you can shoot a gun off backstage and nobody back there.
Did Elvis ever shoot a gun off backstage?
No.
Have you seen the new Elvis movie?
I have, yes.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. Was it accurate? No, but it didn't have to be. It was a movie. But, boy, it did wonders of bringing new people into the Elvis world. Mm-hmm. And for the very first time, but I go out and give speeches and stuff all the time on Elvis. For the very first time, people actually wanted to know about Colonel Parker. In the past, they didn't even hear his name. Because they blamed him for everything.
Mm-hmm. And what was your take on Colonel Parker? Because you knew the Colonel better than a lot of the other guys in the Memphis Mafia.
Oh, absolutely. The Colonel was the godfather of my children, so at his request. But Colonel loved Elvis. Colonel took great financial care of Elvis. He made Elvis more money than any of the other artists at the time, with the movies and Vegas and everything else. He just gets a bum rap. After Elvis passed, the Colonel said, Charlie, you know, in order for the fans to make Elvis a god, they got to make me the devil. And I'm prepared to wear that hat for Elvis.
Yeah, because that is the way the Colonel was seen for many years. Mm-hmm. Was like it was evil because he took so much, I think it was 50% or whatever their deal was, of what Elvis made. The Colonel took 50%. But I guess he could make the argument Elvis wouldn't be making that much without him.
Well, actually, up until the last 2 years of their life, he took 25.
Hmm.
Then they formed a business partnership. No longer manager artist, for as they were 50-50. But when that happened, all of a sudden, all of the expenses were taken off the top rather than Elvis paid his and the Colonel paid his. The Colonel made a lot less money because Elvis' expenses were huge.
Right.
You know, with the airplane and the 14 or 15 people entourage he paid every day. But it doesn't matter. I mean, there were plenty of money to go around, but the Colonel did that, and the Colonel made a lot less money by doing that.
We're visiting with Charles Stone. Charlie, you go by Charlie, I guess, if the Colonel calls you that, right?
He called me, yeah. I've answered anything.
It was Elvis's tour manager for quite some time. And what did you think about the way Priscilla handled the estate after Elvis passed? Did you have a take on that?
Well, you know, actually, the opening it to the public was the Colonel's idea.
Really?
Yep. Priscilla takes credit, and she should, because she's the one that actually did it, but it was the Colonel's idea.
And did they just preserve that thing the way it was the day he died? Did they ever move all that stuff out and then have to recreate it?
They preserved it.
Dang. Yeah. Have you been through Graceland lately?
Oh, yeah.
How often do you make it up there?
They normally hire me to come talk at Elvis Week. I'm not going this year, but... Yeah, but I've toured the house so many times, I don't really go through it anymore. But it's really something. And everybody thinks it's some grandeur thing like maybe Mark Cuban might live in, right?
It's not that big.
It is not that big. It's wide and narrow. And they've moved some add-on for all their trophies and stuff. But no, it's not that big a house.
So what was that like as a tour manager when it was time to leave the venue and get to a car? And was he... swarmed? What was the security like? The
straight detail? From the stage to the car.
So he didn't have to put up with the crowd surging and stuff
Whether it's a police car, a limo, or whatever.
And the band wouldn't stop playing until he, I think, would basically
out,
in
out,
the car.
Out the back door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they'd announce
and
Elvis
then
has left the building.
Al would come on and say, Elvis has left the building, and he really had.
Wow.
And the rest of us were on a bus going to the airport. But he was in the car, so he'd get there first.
What about the musicians that Elvis worked with? Did you ever have any friendships with them? James Burton and the guys?
Oh, absolutely. James, they're all friends, you know.
Uh-huh.
Recently, I was with Jerry Sheff. He just moved to East Texas. And you know who Jerry Sheff is, the bass player?
Yeah.
He played with the Doors. I mean, he's got a history before Elvis.
Yeah, he'll just stand back there and he plays a million notes a minute. I mean, it's incredible. But.
And I see Glenn D. Harden in Denmark every time I work over there.
What about, J.D. Sumner passed, I guess, just a few years ago, and that's the other thing. Speaking of Elvis's expenses, how many people were in his band with the backup singers and the horn and string section and...
22, 30?
Wow. Whoa. That is such a huge band.
30? Because he had the Sweet Inspirations, right? The Stamps, the orchestra, and then his
band. Kathy Westmoreland, I guess, and the rest of those backup singers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We always heard the stories about how generous he was, showering his inner circle and his friends with gifts. Did he buy you a lot of wild stuff, big stuff?
No, because...
You didn't get a pink Cadillac?
I lived here. I didn't live in Memphis.
Okay.
So, therefore, I wasn't around him like everybody else was.
Okay.
And
were those stories true, though?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Buy somebody a Cadillac?
He bought over 200 Cadillacs in his lifetime. And how many are in the museum? 4 or 5, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Sam Thompson, who was his bodyguard, and I, we do a hamburger here every Tuesday. We've got one at noon today. And he said, Elvis would just give away everything. He wanted to see the reaction of people.
Huh.
Very generous.
Were you aware of how bad Elvis's health was in the final years of his life? Because he had glaucoma and he had all sorts of...
Yes, he did have glaucoma.
And then it later came out, you know, they had intestinal issues that fans just weren't aware of.
I personally was not aware of the internal issues,
but you would see his weight fluctuation and things like this and know that he...
Yeah, but look here. I mean,
That happens.
Yeah. No, I wasn't aware of that, but as it turned out, that was his downfall.
Mm-hmm. And as far as interacting with him, was he a quiet guy? Was he jovial? Did you see him in different moods? Was he always kind of in the same mood? What was he like personally?
Elvis always treated me and my family the best you could to do. Never. I personally was never around him in a bad mood. Now, other people were. I mean, you know, he was a human being, but he treated me very, very well.
Did you have a favorite or least favorite in his Memphis Mafia and all those guys? Were Sonny and... You knew Sonny and his brother, too. I guess you had to have seen them come through.
That was his cousin, Red.
Yeah, his cousin, Red. Red West, mm-hmm. and Sonny West and those guys who left at one point. But there was Lamar and Joe Esposito and
right.
all those dudes. Did you have some favorites and least favorites in those groups?
No, not really. I have to tell you, unlike any of the other rock acts I worked with, we were family. And we still are to this day. As I said, Sam Thompson... he was Linda's brother, who was Elvis's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And every Tuesday, we do a burger somewhere around, you know, a different place in Dallas. I think today we're going to Shake Shack.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think last Tuesday was National Hamburger Day. That was a big day.
Yeah, I celebrated pretty hard on that.
Yeah, but I forgot. And we post a picture on Facebook about where we go every
time. Okay.
I mean, yeah. So, and Chris Christian now has joined our group.
Okay.
Y'all know Chris?
Uh-uh.
Don't think so.
We know Chris.
Chris Christian. He's one of the minority owners of the Wings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he did Amy Grant, Natalie Cole, produced records for them.
Oh, nice.
So he now has joined our group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So when that group gets together, do you every week talk about Elvis, or do months go by where you don't talk about Elvis?
Well, we talk a little bit about Elvis, but mostly it's just what you guys do right here about the daily affairs of the world.
Yeah,
we solve all the problems of the world.
Could a chimp beat an offensive lineman?
Until we get out the door, like then that. They go away.
Now, you're not crazy or anything. You don't own monkeys or anything like that, do you?
Yep.
Oh, he does. Oh, my goodness.
Actually,
what kind of monkeys?
I have a spider and a capuchin.
Okay.
That's what Dez had, right? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Those are both small monkeys, though, right?
Well, the spider's the one with the really long arms.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Man, the spider's about maybe 2.5 to 3 feet tall.
Jeez.
But the capuchin's small.
They're not loose in the house, are they?
Oh, no. They have a cage.
Okay.
I have a huge outdoor enclosure like the zoo does as well.
What got you into owning those?
My wife.
Uh-oh. She was into it.
If you're married, you know when your wife wants something, she's going to get it. But Colonel Parker was, nobody else could have handled Elvis. I mean, really? And even the colonel says, you know, nobody told Elvis what to do. Not even Colonel Parker. Elvis, mm-hmm. Elvis was his own man. But,
so in addition to, we mentioned Elvis and we mentioned Led Zeppelin that you also had an experience with. But I also think I saw somewhere where you did Frank Sinatra.
I did a couple of shows with Frank right before I got with Elvis. I did.
Dang.
That's
huge. How was that?
I'm a rock and roller.
Yeah.
Sinatra, I respect what he did, but I'm not into his music.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, he's a legend just like Elvis was. So.
Was there any partying backstage with Frank, or was he like Elvis and he wanted to be quiet?
He had a bodyguard named Jilly. You know, you hear that they're all connected or whatever, so I didn't even want to get into that, so I just kind of kept my distance.
Didn't want to mess with that.
But he gave me a real nice gold cigarette lighter. It says, "Thanks, Sinatra."
Really?
Wow. I've never used it. I still have it.
Golly. What are you going to do with all this stuff?
Give it to my kids.
Yeah.
They need the seller to do what they want to. I've got gold and platinum records just like the Wolf does of Elvis's on.
Where do you keep your TCB necklace?
It's in my briefcase.
And where's your briefcase?
It's in my office.
Tell you.
What are the
coordinates? Well, the thing is, when I go out, I only wear it when I go to Elvis, when I get mm-hmm. to Elvis festivals where they pay me to come work, and then I wear it. I don't ever wear it except for those.
I'm so glad that you have the exact same take that I had on the movie, which was that, you know, it's very stylized, the movie is, but I love the passion and the energy that it brings to the Elvis story. And I love the fact that it got younger people actually interested in Elvis, and it keeps his music and legacy and his ridiculous over the topness and greatness alive for another generation. I'm glad to see that people who actually knew Elvis don't just hate the movie because they find it inaccurate.
Well, it's a movie. It's not a documentary. I mean, for example, the song that he sang, Trouble, or what it was when he was on that out in the middle of that field, it wasn't written until 2 years later.
Right.
So, and not one word of the colonel's speech ever was accurate. But,
yeah.
But who cares? The movie
just
worked.
Made for good
and it was,
dialogue.
It was. I saw it twice.
Really?
Yeah. When I worked in Graceland the next year after that, we were doing a conversation to being interviewed. And I asked, how many people seen the movie? One of these, I've seen it 29 times.
Wow.
And I'm going to see it again tonight because it's playing at Graceland. 30 times.
Wow. Mm.
So then when I went to New York and did the same thing at a show we did, one lady had seen it 40 times.
Were you ever in on someone famous coming to visit Elvis at a concert, Beatles or anything like
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, yeah. Muhammad Ali.
Whoa.
Elton John. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Everybody wanted to come see Elvis, yeah.
Would he entertain guests backstage, or did he always
No, but I would go for an Elton. We were in Washington, D.C., I went out because we did Elton shows as well, our company. So I took Elton back to meet him, then took him back to his seat. Muhammad Ali just met him back in the backstage area.
What was that like, Muhammad?
Oh man, that was cool. I got to shake his hand.
Wow,
dang!
But then
I want to join the Hamburger Club so we can get a hamburger.
We need to hear more cool stories
about Muhammad Ali and stuff
and Elvis stories.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know, Sam Thompson. I don't know if you know much about him. He was the utilities commissioner of Nevada. He was a judge in Tennessee. He was a prison warden, just like Brubaker. The movie Brubaker is identical to what Sam's experience was like.
Wow.
But he also signed Michael Bublé to his first contract. Oh. He was partners with Linda's husband. I can't think of the name right now. But anyway, you know, Sam's got a great history as well.
Yeah.
And may I ask, how old are you, Charles, now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll ask.
Yeah, you can ask.
How old are you, Charles?
How about a little north of 75? How's that?
Oh, wow.
Man.
Quite a bit north.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
Doing great.
You're doing great. We appreciate you coming up here and spending some time
with
us.
Hey, guys, we could do this forever, you know.
You live in town. And I'm going to look up a lot of the other acts that you worked with and get stories about them, too.
I'm going to look up hamburger places around town and try to run into you on Tuesday.
Hamburger places open on Tuesday.
Well, give us some ideas because we've been doing this
for five years.
We've been doing it.
Okay. Wow, that's great.
Now, we repeat a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The Blues
Burgers. That'll happen if you have.
Blues Burgers over by Love Field is one of our favorites.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Tuesday. So if y'all have any ideas, give them to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will.
Well, thank you, Charles. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you
and
very much.
Thanks, Danny Fine, for helping us set this up. Thank you, Danny's in studio over there.
Elvis has not left the studio.
No.
No.
He's still with us in spirit.